All right, Shavuot say good morning. Good morning. Azuchos Baruch Hashem to be back with all of you this morning. Begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this morning. Sure to thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Adar Beis, the Schwartzbaum family for dedicating all the Shirim and Drushals this month in memory of Aaron Schwartzbaum, Rabbi Aaron Schwartzbaum, Aaron Yosef ben Meir Zichron Levracha, Leah Sol in the Schussa for daughter Ilana Bas Esther's successful surgery and complete Refuah Shalema and for the safe return of all of our hostages. Maya Hoffman in memory of her father, Ruvain ben Emmanuel, and in the merit of Hatzlocha, health and joy for her entire family. Beautiful. Yoel and Sarah Kelman in honor of the birth of their son, and in memory of Staff Sergeant David Sasson, Hashem Yikom Damo, age 21, who was killed in fighting in Gaza on March 6th, 2024. Right, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. And of course, we dedicate our learning today, Le'ili Nishmas, Daniel Perez. Daniel Perez was just confirmed to be killed. He was killed on October 7th and body held by Hamas. Doron Perez is the son, Daniel Perez is the son of Rav Doron Perez, who's the CEO of World Mizrahi. Actually, I mentioned this before when he was first taken captive. When Aviv and I were in South Africa, we spent the Shabbos by the Perez family, and Daniel was much younger. So this must have been going back about 15 years ago, before the, 10 years ago. And a sweet young man, even then, who was incredibly precocious, and Baruch Hashem, a young man who dedicated and gave his life for Am Yisrael, for Eretz Yisrael, and who could even imagine the pain of a family over the last 160 days, not knowing the fate of their son. And now, you know, Chazal tell us, Ein Simcha Kataras Asvekos. There's nothing better in life than the resolution of doubt. I was thinking about this a lot, about what's better. What's better? Knowing that a precious son's neshama has ascended to Shamayim, or living every day with the unknown. Sahalavai, we should never have to decide between those two ranges of emotions. We should never have to encounter such an overwhelming and such a difficult reality and such a parsha in life. However, it's so important. You know, when we were in Hostage Square just this past Wednesday, Rav Perez was speaking. Hostage Square is an overwhelming place there, but there's like a tent that's set up back there. He was speaking to hostage families, and he's spent the entire time since October 7th as a beacon of hope, as a beacon of chizik, as a beacon of strength, an incredible mishpacha who has faced overwhelming and just overwhelming. You know, they made a chasana for their other son during this entire tikufa as well, not so long after Daniel, Hashem Yikom Damo, was taken captive. An incredible thing to see the part of the nation that we are a part of, and the people from whom we hail. The strength of Klal Yisrael, the strength of Am Yisrael knows no bounds. And we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, that Daniel's neshama will have an aliyah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give strength to his incredible family, his incredible parents. And halavai, we should be zocheh meretz Hashem, that times like these, times of tsaros, and times of difficulty, and times of hostages, and times of soldiers, and times of war, should meretz Hashem come to an end, but it should only come to an end after Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael earns a decisive victory. We are, strength of our people is that we are willing to fight for that which is right. Recognizing that even though that fight comes with a heavy price tag. You know, I've come to see that one of the most beautiful things about Eretz Yisrael Jews is that they have a willingness to pay a price. You know, for us, the word sacrifice is like a bad word. We don't want to have to sacrifice. We want to have, as somebody put it to me, we want to have our cake and eat it too and then have some more. That's what we want. And when something becomes too difficult, you know, and I'm gonna punt it. You know what? It's not for me. And then Eretz Yisrael, just it's in the air, it's in the soil, that anything you want, every inch of land that is ours, and every single national dream or aspiration we have, it requires sacrifice. And our brothers and sisters are willing to make that sacrifice. That to me is the most overwhelming reality of this entire war. And there is an entire segment of our holy people who are willing to make any and every sacrifice for the continuity of Am Yisrael, for the continuity of Eretz Yisrael. It's humbling, it's sobering, it's overwhelming, but it's also such a privilege to be part of such a people. So we should be zochem Meretz Hashem that Elohim should provide an aliyah for Daniel's neshama nechama for his mishpacha. Halavai, all of our hostages should come home b'shalom and b'karov. All of our soldiers should be successful in each of their respective missions, and Meretz Hashem be reunited with their families intact, both physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Well, so with that, let us begin. We have a lot to do today. Today's daf is Yotes, with your permission, and without your permission. I know you got a little bit further yesterday, but we're going to start Emeretz Hashem on Yud Chesam Beis, the last line. Rabba Barachan, I know you got a couple of lines down onto Yotes, but I think that this important sugi is important for us to do together. This first sugi is important for us to do together as well. So Rabba Barachan, so what happened? We'll say Yotes Amdalef 19a. Irkis Legita Be Midrasha. So the case over here was like this. Rabbi Barachana was a shaliach, and he was tasked with delivering a get. He was tasked with delivering a get. And what happens? He lost it. He lost it. Irkis Legita. Rashi says, Shahaya Shliach Lahavi, the Irkos. So again, he was a shaliach to go and bring the get, and he lost it. So what happened? So the Gemara says, Irkis Legita Be Midrasha. The good news is, you know, Bosse, you know, sometimes you lost, there are two ways that you lose something. So sometimes I lose something and I have absolutely no idea where it is. Sometimes I lose something and at least I have a general geographic proximity. Right? It's not just true with physical things in life. It's also true in ruchnius. But you know, a lot of times in life, we lose parts of ourselves. Right? You ever take a... First of all, Eitan, we want to welcome Eitan this morning. Our youngest member of the Daf Yomi, Baruch Hashem.
Second day,
incredible. Can you imagine, Chevra? Eitan, 12? Can you imagine what would have happened if we would have started learning Daf Yomi at 12 years old? Look at us. What we could have been. How do we start learning? Eitan, I give you a bracha that Emeretz Hashem, you should continue to learn Torah. Besimcha, ba'ava, bezrizos, ba'amkos, bedveikos. Your father will explain to you all those words. And Emeretz Hashem, you should grow to be an incredible ben Torah, a talmud chacham, a gadol ba'Torah, ma'isim tovim, ad nev esim shanim tovos. So sometimes in life, you know, you lose something. We all lose parts of ourselves. And, you know, like you think that when you were young, like when I was young, I was always like so happy and always so optimistic and always, and then a lot of times in life, like you could point to, sometimes you don't know, like, where did I lose that? Like, so sometimes you could point to events. I know when I lost it. It was this event in life that caused me to lose my hope. It was this event in life that caused me to lose my optimism. It was this event in life that made me cynical. So with physical things and with emotional things, we lose them over the course of the journey of life. Sometimes you know where you lost it. Sometimes you don't know where you lost it. The good part is, if you know where you lost something, then what? So if it's a physical thing, you can narrow the scope of the search. And even if it's a spiritual emotional thing, if you know the event that changed you, if you know the event that put you on a different life trajectory, then you're kind of able to go back a little bit, unpack it a little bit, and maybe reclaim some of those things that you have lost along the journey of life. You know, all of us have that moment. For me, it always happens when I'm in Eretz Yisrael, but you have that moment where, you know, you look in the mirror and you're like, wow, I'm really not the person I set out to be. I'm really not that person. A lot of times, though, in life, we just, like, stop there. But it's important to say, okay, so what happened? Like, where did the paths in life diverge? Where did I kind of get detoured? Where did I kind of get sidelined? And if I could identify that event, that moment, that place, then I could go back and maybe try to rectify it. So Rabbi Bar Bar Chano lost the get. The good news is, bad news is he lost the get. Good news is he knew where he lost it. So Amar Isinla Islibigave, Itvias Inla Islibigave. So Rabbi Barachana said, listen, he made an announcement. He's like, look, I lost the get. I know that I lost it here, which means someone found it. So I need someone to return it to me. And I could go ahead and assert ownership over it or responsibility over it in one of two ways. If you want a simon, I will say this is exciting because this is our next parak, right? If you want an identifying mark, I can give you an identifying mark. Itvias Inla Islibigave. And if ultimately, again, you just want like ocular recognition. In other words, I will say there's a concept, and we'll talk about all of this, of Tvias Ayin. Tvias Ayin means that certain people, because of their kind of like, we'll call it innate, what's the word? Trusted status is a better word for that. Their innate credibility. Because of their innate credibility, we believe them to go ahead and identify something, and we trust them. So there's a concept by Talmud Chacham of Tviyas Ayin, that if a Talmud Chacham says, oh, that's the document I lost, he's believed to go ahead and say this. So Rabbi Bachana said, listen, I lost the get. I have two ways of identifying it. If you want a simon, I can give you a simon. If you just want to trust my ocular, you know, recognition, I can do that as well. Drua Nehile. So they gave it. So somebody found the get, and they gave it back ultimately again to Rabbi Bar Chano. Amar lo yedana imushum simna. Drua Nehile. The kasavri simon daraisa. So Rabbi Bar Chano says something very interesting. So we'll say they gave it back to him, and he wasn't sure why. Did they give it back to me because I have a simon? And because simanin are da'oraisa, that ultimately, again, a simon is a da'oraisa, and namely that mid'oraisa, simanin work, is that why he gave it to me? Imishum tvias in the adra. Or is it because that I have the ability to identify it just by sight? V'dafka tzramirabonon aval inish ta'amolo. There was also this idea about the tvias ayin, of being able to just kind of identify something, and that you're believed, that is only a din by a Talmud Chacham. That doesn't apply to anyone else. So Rabbi Bar Chana said, I'm not sure exactly why they gave it back to me, but they gave it back to me. So that's the end of the story. So Rabbi says, obviously, again, the tie into the story is what we saw previously, talking about simanim as well, with different things like this, lost documents. And I would say, but it struck me, and this is kind of why I wanted to start with this, even though I know that you covered this yesterday. It struck me in the story that, you know, at the end, what's the bottom line of the story, right? What's the bottom line of the story? Rabbi Bar Chana got the get back. He got it back. But what's interesting is he didn't know why he got it back. Right? So it kind of like just went on. So say it struck me as such an incredible life metaphor. Baruch Hashem, when good things happen in life, rarely do we question why. Right? Something good happens. So there might be that like epiphanical moment when I see, yeah, I haven't used it in a while. Right? So there might be that moment where I'm like, you know what? I'm not deserving of this. But then like generally we kind of like quickly move past that. And we're like, yeah, the more I think about it, I'm actually kind of pretty deserving, right? And so Lamai said that we just move past it. When good things happen, we move past it. Right? When you get the get back, we just kind of move forward. You don't really find people like deep in thought wondering, why do I have a marriage? Why do I have children? Why do I have money in the bank, right? Why do I have, then like, I can't understand it. I can't figure out, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this to me? Why did he give this to me? When good things happen, of course, we're thankful and we move forward. I believe that the Gemara tells a story like this, because it's to teach us that we have to learn to apply that same model to challenging times as well. So often in life, when things don't go our way, or when something happens that I'm unhappy with, we get so caught up in the theology of it. And it's legitimate to ask the question. It really is. We're people of questions. It's legitimate to ask, why me? Why this? But it's also so important for us to know that we are not going to get the answers to those things. Maybe sometimes we get the answer like some years later on or in a different Gilgal. But a lot of times in life, when we encounter adversity, we're not going to get clear-cut answers to the why me. So what do you do with adversity? I will say, what do? You pick yourself up. What did Rabbi Bar Chana do? What did Rabbi Bar Chana do when he got the get back? Gemara doesn't tell the story. But Pepashos, when he got the get, what did he do? He left and he delivered it. He went on. You got a shlichus. You got an agency to do. Move forward. So Rabbi will say, in the same way that when we receive bracha, we don't get caught up in the questioning of why me. We take the bracha, we move forward, execute our agency, execute our shlichus. We have to bring that same level of dedication to the challenges of life as well. We all have challenges. We all have difficulties, personal, national, and sometimes they are absolutely overwhelming, and you have a choice. You could lose yourself in the questioning. You could lose yourself in the whys. You could lose yourself in all of the theology, which is all correct, and there's a place for it. But it sidelines you, it paralyzes you, and prevents you from moving forward. Or you could say, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me. These are the circumstances I have. Let's move forward. It's time to execute the shlichus. And I believe that that's the Gemara is teaching us in this story. The Gemara is just framing it in the positive Rabbi Baruch Hanan is like, I don't know why I got to get back. Baruch Hashem, everything worked out. I don't know why everything worked out. Is it because of Simanim? Is it because of Tvias Ayin? I'm not sure. But Lamaisa, it worked out. Move forward. That's the mindset when things go well. And it's the same exact mindset when we encounter challenges as well. Incredible. Let's go back there. Gufa. Matzaget Isha Bishuk. So we'll say a really interesting case. Person finds a get of a woman in the marketplace. So Bizman Shah Baal Mod. So we'll say, so now this is Stam, not a case of Shlichos, right? I'm walking through the marketplace and I find a get. So now we'll say, what's the Shaila? The same Shaila we've had for a while already. What's the Shaila? Do I give it back? Now remember, this is a double-edged sword. Why? Because we'll say, remember again, if I give it back to the woman, maybe she was never divorced. Right? If I give it back, ultimately again to the husband, so maybe she was divorced, but maybe he never paid her ksuva. Now remember again, the get often acted as a shover, as a receipt for payment of the ksuva. So if you give the get back to the husband, it could very well be you're giving him back a receipt, but maybe he never paid. So what do you do in a case like this? So gufa matzaget isha b'shuk, bizman shabal moda yachzir li'isha. So when the baal is moda, when the husband is moda that he divorced his wife, ultimately, you give the get back to the woman. Ain't about moda, but if the husband does not admit that he divorced his wife, lo yachzer, lo lazeh, velo lazeh. Then I will say, we don't go ahead and give it back to either the husband or the wife. Okay, now I will say, now interestingly enough, this already contradicts the Mishnah, right? Because our Mishnah already stated on Yud Ches Amud Aleph that Aloch al Maisa, certain documents that you find, you do not return. Because just the gamble is too much. So the Gemara says, Bizman Shaba Moda, Mia Yachzir Li'isha. So we'll say, the Gemara says, okay, so here's what we have. The Braisa is pretty straightforward. So the Braisa tells him that Halacha L'maisa, if the husband says, yes, I divorced my wife, you can give the woman back the ksuva. The Gemara says, but don't we have a problem? V'lechosh Shema Kasav Litan Benisan, V'lo Nasan La'atishrei, V'azal. So we'll say, why aren't we concerned with the following issue? Maybe the get is dated for Nisan, but in fact, it was not delivered until Tishrei. Now, what's the problem with that? Here's the problem. Va'azel bal zabin peri bi Nisan va'tishrei. Now, both say, now remember again, a get, bipashtos, is not effective until it's delivered. So even though it's dated Nisan, if it wasn't delivered until Tishrei, so bipashtos, that means that the bal, the husband, retained peros in all of the produce up until Tishrei. So we perhaps have to be concerned about the following thing. Maybe the husband sold peros, which is his right, between Nisan and Tishrei, umafka legita de kasa benisan va'asila mitraf lekucho shelo kedin. And we have to be concerned over here that what? So I will say, see, here's what happened. Husband, right, what did we just say? We just said, I'm walking down the street, I find the get. What's the halacha? So if the husband's not moda, I don't give it back to either party. If the husband is moda, I give it back to the wife. But maybe we should be concerned for the following situation. Maybe the get was dated in Nisan, but wasn't actually delivered until Tishrei. So I don't have to be concerned about that. So maybe between Nisan and Tishrei, the husband sold marital property, which he's allowed to do. Right? He sold peros of his wife's property, which he's allowed to do. Now what's going to happen? We give her the get. So we'll say, so now what is she going to do? She's going to go to the purchasers of that property, anyone who bought between Nisan and Tishrei. And what is she going to do? She's going to extract that property from the purchasers, claiming that her husband illegally sold that property. Now, what does she have to back up that claim? She has a get that's dated Nisan, but it wasn't delivered until Tishrei. So technically, husband had the right to sell the property, but now she could unlawfully extract produce or extract property from people who really legally purchased it from the husband. So aren't we concerned about that? To which the Gemara says, Hani chalaman damar, kevan shenasan einav legarsho, shuv ein labal peiro shapir. So we'll say, so this makes sense according to the opinion that says that the truth is a husband loses peiros once he goes ahead and decides to divorce his wife. This is interesting, boss. Remember from our Gittin days. Meaning, even if he didn't actually give the get, if you wrote a get in Nisan, that's it. Even though they're technically married, there's an opinion that says that once he has decided that he's going to divorce her, then halacha lemaaseh he no longer has any peros. In which case, she really would not be entitled to, I'm sorry, he would not have been entitled to sell that produce between Nisan and Tishrei. According to the opinion that says that no, a husband has peros. Up until when? A husband has peros up until the time that he delivers the get. Then ultimately, again, what is there to say? What is there to say? In other words, we'll say that in that particular situation, which is quite interesting over here, that in that case, halacha lemaisa, this concern really does exist. Because he's going to give her a get that was dated in Nisan, but not actually delivered until Tishrei. She could go ahead now, even though he's telling me, I found the get, he's telling me, give back the get to Rachel, she could go ahead and unlawfully extract property. To which the Gemara says, you're right. Here's what we do. Ki asyala mitraf, so we'll say, so if this case would happen, right? So if this exact case would happen, that Rachel now shows up with the get, because remember again, in this case, I found the get, walking down the street, I say, Reuven, I found the get, what do you want me to do? Reuven says, I divorced my wife, give it to her, I give it to Rachel. Rachel now, first thing she does with that get is try to extract property that her husband sold. The get is dated in Nisan. But don't we have to be concerned that maybe halacha lemaisa, she didn't get it until Tishrei. So what happens? Rabbi says, ki asya lemitraf, indeed when she becomes to collect property, so amrina Allah, we say to her, I see raya emas mate gita liyadach. We say to her, bring a raya, we being the purchasers, we say to her, you know what? You need to bring furnishing this get is not enough. You need to prove when you actually received it. So Rabbi says, this is actually very interesting. I just want to point out, normally we don't do this, right? Normally when you produce a document and that document has a date, what does that date tell you? That date tells you when the transaction occurred. Remember, this case is different. Why is this case different? Because halacha lemaisa, you have a document that was lost. So we saw this already before. Once a document was lost and then retrieved, in general, it raises so many different questions about the effectiveness and kashrus status of the get. So are the documents. So in general, so that Gemara is going to say, inachinami, if the husband is moda, give the get back to Rachel. But now when Rachel wants to extract property, because she claims, listen, the date of the get is Nisan, my husband sold you property in Sivan, a month later, we tell her, hold up. How do we know that the get was actually delivered in Nisan just because it was dated in Nisan? You need to bring proof that it wasn't written in Nisan and delivered in Tishrei. So there is an extra burden of proof upon her to prove that halacha lemaisa, the get was not only dated in Nisan, but was actually written in Nisan as well. Incredible. So the Gemara says, "Umay shno mishtari chov." Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehyeh bedvaro. So the Gemara says, "Umay shno mishtari chov." Why is this any different than a shtar chov? We'll say shtar chov is just a note of indebtedness, a loan document. This, now listen to this. Moshe shtar chov, if you find a loan document, im yesh panach rais nechasim lo yachzir. Moshe, we had this already again, not last week, but the week before. If you go ahead and you find a shtar chov, if the shtar chov has a lien against real property, lo yachzir, you cannot return the document. Vokimna, and we establish this case, kishachayev moda. We'll say we establish this case, even talking about a case where the borrower admits that he owes the money. Umishum, what are we concerned about? Umishum shema kasav lalavos, benisan, v'lo lava atishrei. And we'll say in this case, we were concerned that what's going to happen. Maybe the document was written in Nisan, meaning Reuven was going to lend Shimon money in Nisan. That's when they agreed. But ultimately, again, but the loan itself didn't happen until Tishrei. And what are we concerned about? That the creditor, the lender, v'katarv l'kucho shelo kedin. And the creditor is going to potentially go ahead and collect from sold properties, properties that the borrower sold inappropriately. I'm sorry, I'm saying it differently. He sold it appropriately. We're concerned about an inappropriate collection through the creditor. So we'll say, so what do you see? Hasam nami lehadar. So I don't understand, why is this case different than a get? It seems to be a parallel case, yet the halachas are different. Because in get, the halacha is when the baal is moda, right? When the husband admits that, right, he divorced his wife, if we give the get back to Rachel, why are we concerned that maybe he wrote the get to Nisan but didn't deliver it until Tishrei, and she's going to use this get to inappropriately or unlawfully extract properties that her husband sold? Okay, so we answered. When she shows up to try to extract properties, we tell her, bring proof, not only that the get was dated in Nisan, but that it was given in Nisan. Yet I will say, interestingly enough, over here in the case of the loan document, halacha lemaisa, even if the borrower admits the document, if it's a document that has lien against real property, we're not returning it. Why are we not returning it? Seems to be the same concern, because we're concerned that creditor is going to collect property that was sold by the borrower in Nisan, even though the actual loan didn't take place until Tishrei. So the Gemara says, Hasam nami lihadar. Why don't we give back the loan document? V'chi asi lemitraf, and if the creditor tries to go ahead and extract sold property, nemole, let's say to him, I see raya emas matach shtar chov liyadach. bring a raya. We say the, why don't we say the creditor? Because the creditor wants to go ahead and extract properties that were sold in Sivan, because the date of the loan document says Nisan. So therefore, again, technically speaking, that means that the creditor has a lien against those properties. So why don't we say the creditor? So if the case where the borrower admits the loan, return the document to the creditor and tell the creditor if he wants to extract property, say, no problem. You want to extract property? Not a problem. You have to bring a proof. Bringing the document with the date is not enough. You also have to prove that the actual loan was executed in Nisan and not sometime later on. In other words, just use the same mechanism of resolution by loan that you have by get. Amri hachi gabi get isha asi lokeach v'tava. Supposed to listen to this. In the case of the get, right? In the case of the get, so where the woman wants to try to extract properties that were sold by her husband because she's claiming that they were sold after she was already divorced and the husband had no rights. What's going to happen? Amri haida jruna heli rabbanu legita mishum delo ta'agin v'tesif. Hashta t'ka'asi l'mitraf tezel v'tisi raya emas mata gita liyada. Supposed to listen to this. When the woman comes, when Rachel, we'll call her, comes to try to extract properties, claiming that her husband sold properties after she was divorced, and she's coming armed with a get that says Nisan. Shabbos says, so if you're one of the people from whom she's trying to extract properties, you understand what's happened over here. Chazal wanted her to have this get, right? Why did Chazal want her to have this get? Because in general, Chazal don't want agunos. So Chazal wanted her to have this get. So that from the purchaser's perspective, when Rachel shows up trying to extract property, I understand why the rabbis put this document back in her possession. But I also understand that that doesn't necessarily, the fact that Chazal put the get back in her possession is not automatically a shtempel on all of the details in the get. In other words, they wanted her to have the get in order to prevent an aguna situation. But at the same time, halacha l'maisa, it doesn't mean that giving her back the get obviates the problem that potentially it was written in Nisan and not given until Tishrei. Therefore, again, the purchaser who she's trying to extract from is going to know, okay, Rachel, I appreciate that you come with a document. I'm going to need some proof that this document was actually executed in Nisan and not back and not later on in Tishrei. So we'll say, so that's why, again, essentially in the get case, the purchaser knows that before he goes ahead and gives a property, he has a right to ask Rachel for an additional layer of proof that the get was actually executed in Nisan. Hacha, so I'll read that. I'll translate the words. I'm sorry. He says, Amri hacha gabi getisha, the case of getisha, asilo keach v'tava. Amri, hai dadru nehele le rabbanon legita, the fact that the rabbis gave her back the get, mishum delo ta'agein v'tesin, that she shouldn't be in aguna. Hashta the ka'asi le'mitrof, but now that she wants to extract property, tezel v'tisi raya, she has to bring a proof, emas machia gita liyada, when the get itself actually came to her hands. Okay. Hacha gavishtar, however, we'll say in the case of a shtar, right, the loan document case. So the Gemara says, lo asi lo keach v'tava, so lo asi lo keach v'tava, midadru nehele rabbanon le shtar chov. The fact that the rabbis awarded the loan document back to the hands of the borrower, pshita lemay hilchos adruna hile lemitrof. They both say, when you return a loan document to a lender, there is only one reason you're returning that loan document. Why is that? Because they both say, what that document represents is not simply an entitlement to collection, but rather, what does it represent? It represents ultimately, again, a lien against real property. And Chazal are only going to return that to someone if they are 100% sure that the claim is true. Shema mina, kam rabbanu b'milsa, u'mikamei didei matashtar liyadei. Shabbos says, so it must be that the rabbis obviously did their due diligence. They did their due diligence. And therefore, again, by returning the document to the lender, they're essentially putting their stempel on his claim. And therefore, again, the purchasers of the property are not going to end up asking for any additional layer of proof. They're just going to take the date in the document as the date of the document, and they won't know that they could ask for additional proof to support the lender's claim. Therefore, halacha l'maisa, we don't return a lost loan document. So we'll say, so fascinating, fascinating fundamental distinction. Okay, incredible. So we'll say, so bottom line, we now see two different models of document return. The get case, interestingly enough, in that case, if the Baal admits that the woman was divorced, We'll give her back the get. We're not concerned that maybe, again, the get was dated earlier, but given later. Because even if it was, the purchasers from who the woman wants to extract property have every right to ask her for an additional layer of substantiation, additional layer of edus, that in fact she was divorced as of the date written in the get. But apparently by loan document, we're concerned that purchasers of property will not know that they have the halachic right to ask for additional layers of substantiation. And therefore, again, we'll just assume that whatever date is written in the loan document is in fact the date the loan was executed. And therefore, again, it could be exploited. So because it could be exploited, that goes back to the ruling we had before, that namely, whenever you lose a loan document, even if the borrower admits, yes, I borrowed the money, if there is a lien on real property, we do not return that document to either party. Incredible. All right, let's go weiter. Says the Gemara. We'll say another interesting case here. Listen to this case. I find the document of emancipation in the marketplace. So now again, remember, this is talking about an Eved Kenani. Right? So I Reuven owns an Eved Kenani. We'll call him Eved for short. Right? So what happens? So now I find the document of emancipation in the marketplace. Now, listen, I remember again, what happens with the get shechor? What happens with the document of emancipation? What does the Eved become? The Eved becomes a ben chor and a full-fledged Jew. So watch this, it's fascinating. So, Mazesh ta shechor b'shuk, bizman sharav modeh yachsir li Eved, einar av modeh lo yachsir lo lazeh v'lo lazeh. So we'll say, if Reuven, the master, admits that yes, I emancipated my Eved, then we give the get to the Eved. If the master does not, right, the master says, no, I wrote it up, but I never gave it to him. In other words, he does not admit that he emancipated the Eved, then we do not return the document to either one, right? Not to the Adon and not to the Eved. So the Gemara says, here's what's interesting. So, Bizman Sharav Moda Miha Yachsir La Eved. So, Rabbi says, here's what's interesting. This seems to contradict the Mishnah again, which is, Halach L'maisa, the Braisa says, that when the master admits that he emancipated his Eved, we give the shtar back, we give the get shichar back to the Eved. So Mar says, but why? Va'amai. Nechosh shemakas avlitin lo benisa v'lo nasan lo atishrei. Aren't we concerned for the following situation? Right? Let's say we find the shtar shichar. The shtar shichar says, Reuven emancipated his Eved, and it's dated in Nisan. But aren't we concerned that maybe it was dated in Nisan, but not actually given until Tishrei? And what happened? Va'azal avda v'kana nechasem Nisan v'atishrei. So Mar says, so now what happened? The Eved bought property between Nisan and Tishrei. And what did he do? See, he bought property. The connects him in Nisan and Tishrei. Va'azal harav v'zabninhu umafik leil shechra v'kasav b'nisan v'katav l'kucho shelo kedin. So it says, so what happened? Between Nisan and Tishrei, so watch this. So let's just put the whole story together. Right, I'm walking, minding my own business. I find the shtar shechra. It says in it that in Nisan, Reuven emancipated his Eved. Okay, so now, if the master says, right, if Reuven says, I wrote it, but I never gave it, so we don't give it back to either party. If Reuven says, yeah, I wrote it and I gave it, so what do? We give it to Eved. We give it to Eved. Here is your shtar shechor. Verses 1 second. Aren't we concerned with the following situation? Let's say the get is dated in Nisan. And I will say, aren't we concerned once again that maybe it was dated in Nisan but not given until Tishrei? And what maybe happened? Maybe the following happened. Between Nisan and Tishrei, Eved bought property. They both say, now something interesting happens when an Eved buys something. What happens to whatever an Eved acquires? Masha kana Eved kana rabo. So Eved acquired property. The master, within his right, takes that property and sells it. They both say, now remember again, that was fine because we're talking about a case where the get was written in Nisan but not given until Tishrei. So therefore, the Eved really had no ownership during that time. He bought property. It became the property of the owner, Reuven, and Reuven sold it. Now what's going to happen? We return the document back to Eved, and what is Eved going to do? Eved now has a document that says that he is a free man as of Nisan. What is he going to do now? He's going to go back to all the purchasers that Reuven sold to between Nisan and Tishrei and extract all of that property for himself. Even though, again, I will say that is not appropriate because technically speaking, even though it was dated in Nisan, it wasn't actually given to him until Tishrei. Once again, he's going to exploit the document to extract sold property. So the Gemara says, "Hani chalaman damer schusul eved shiotzi mitachas rabo lecheros." So we'll say, so this works well according to the opinion. This is actually very interesting that it is a schus for an eved to be emancipated. The Gemara says, "A fast." We've seen this before. So it's a schus for an eved to be emancipated. And I will say, now what? Look at Rashi. Schusul eved, like right in the middle of Rashi. Tovahi etzlo shematiro bekal v'chevan deschushu ika literutzei demisha shenichtav zocha b'shichrer dechi delechi matish target liyada nasa ben chorin lemafreya mishas chasima. So let's say now watch this. Obviously, when we say that a get is dated, let's say in this case that the shtar shechrer was dated in Nisan. So we'll say, so what happened in Nisan? In Nisan, that means that the get was written, dated, and signed. So we'll say, so watch this. If you say that emancipation is a schus, it's a schus to be a yid, a schus to be a Jew. So now the Eved Kenani upon emancipation becomes a full-fledged Jew. So watch this. When the document is written and signed upon, so the witnesses who sign on it, they become zachin, or they enact zachin la adam shalo b'fanav. Now listen, remember again, what's halacha zachin la adam shalo b'fanav? You could do something objectively beneficial for someone, even without their knowledge or not in their presence. So that effectively means that the edim essentially acquire the get shichrer on behalf of Eved. In which case, this is beautiful. Because then even though the document is maybe not delivered until Tishrei, that's fine because he's emancipated as of Nisan, which then in fact means that when he acquires property in Sivan, and the master takes it and sells it, the master had no right to do that. And therefore, when the Eved produces the document, he has every right to seize that property. However, El Mandomer, the Gemara says, fine, so I'll say, so again, if you hold, number one, that emancipation is a schus, and number two, that when the witness is signed, the witnesses have the ability, so to speak, to acquire, to get shichrer on behalf of the Eved. So the Eved is effectively emancipated as of Nisan. And therefore, when he acquires property in Sivan, and the master inappropriately takes that property and sells it, he had no right to do that. So that when the Eved gets his document and shows his document dated Nisan and recaptures that property, he is within his right. Elamanda Amar, Chovu le'Eved Shiyotzi Mitachas Yad Rabo. L'cheder Shabbos is incredible. What about according to the opinion that says that it is a chov, it is detrimental for an Eved to be emancipated? I will say, how in a million years would it be detrimental for an Eved to be emancipated? Look at Rashi. Chov hu le'Eved, chovasahu, shiyotzi mitachas rabo, kilomar hefsid hulo, shim Eved koinu, poslo min atruma, vim shal yisra osra b'shifcha kinanis, dezelelei, ushchichalei, upritzalei. So I'll say, listen to this, why would it be a chov? Well, if you're an Eved to a Kohen, the good news is that as a Kohen, right, as Eved of a Kohen, you get to eat Truma. And if you're an Eved of a Yisrael, you are permitted to slave women. And slave women were known to be incredibly promiscuous. So you have all of this opportunity for promiscuity. And I'll say, isn't it incredible to see that sometimes in life, what people feel is a benefit and what people feel is a detriment? Right, so as an Eved Kenani, what do you have? What do you have? You have food and promiscuity. Food and promiscuity. What do you have as a free man? Unlimited potential and holiness. Chazal says it's incredible how many people choose the food and promiscuity, right? Over potential and holiness. And this is a machlokus. You know, it's a machlokus in human nature. In the eyes of most people, what is considered to be a zechus? Is it of greater benefit to have unlimited potential and ultimately again unlimited reservoir of holiness? Or is there greater potential to have a full belly and be able to satisfy every want, lust, and urge that you have? See, Abba, so you'd say to yourself, oh, so what's the machlokes? It is a machlokes, I will say. Because, you see, I will say, whether we realize it or not, we make this decision between being an Eved Kenani and being a Jew every single day, about being an Eved or being a Ben Chorin. I will say, every single time I'm tempted to sin, and I choose sin, which I do often, I choose sin. Well, what am I choosing? I'm choosing to indulge my senses. I'm choosing to indulge my wants, my cravings, my desires. And what am I choosing it over? I'm choosing it over a life of a free man. I'm choosing it over a life of kedusha. So it's a machlokas. It's a machlokas. Is it a zchus to be emancipated or not? So you understand that machlokas? Let's say, by the way, what's talacha? What's talacha? I will say, it's a teku, because I will say, we live with this struggle every single day. What do I determine for myself is a greater benefit? Is it a greater benefit to be an Eved Kenani? You know, the best part about being Eved Kenani, you can do whatever you want. Not whatever you want, because you're an Eved, but you can indulge whatever you want. Or is it a greater schus to be a Ben Chorin, to be a Jew, to be someone with vision, someone with goals, someone else? You're right, you can't indulge every want and desire. But what you could accomplish is so much greater. Which is the greater zechus for a person? Machlokis in Chazal. So the Gemara says, aye, but according to Mandarin, it says that it's a chov. Michael and Mimar. So we'll say, so in that case, the Eved is really not emancipated until when? Until the get reaches his hands. And if the get doesn't reach his hands until Tishrei, then it turns out that he could really exploit this and extract sold property. To which the Gemara says, very simple. So the Chiyasi Lemitrov, Amrino Le, I see Raya, Emas Mati Shechar Liadach. So we'll say, we give the same answer here by Shtar Shechar, get Shechar, that we gave by get Isha. If just like, what do we tell the Eved? When the Eved comes with the document in hand wanting to extract properties because claiming, hey, I was emancipated in Nisan and the master sold my property in Sivan, give it back to me. We say that no problem. Just prove that the get wasn't only written in Nisan, but prove that what? It was actually delivered to you in Nisan as well. So both sides. So therefore, get Shechrer and get Isha have the same halacha. In a situation where the father, where the husband, by get Isha, or by the master, by get Shechrer, admit that they wrote this document, we'll give it back to the woman, we'll give it back to the Eved. Aye, what about the fact that it could be exploited? No problem. If either the woman or the Eved want to extract property, the people who currently hold the property have every single right to say, I'm sorry, the date in the document is not enough because there's a possibility that it was dated one day but not delivered to you until later. So bring additional edos that it was in fact delivered at the time of the date in the document. Beautiful. Let's go weiter. Daitiki matana tanabanan. Ezu daitiki. So we'll say, what's daitiki mentioning in the Mishnah? So do tehe lemekam velios. So we'll say, so literally translated, daitiki is a contraction of this shall be almost like a proof to you of an ongoing ownership. Rashi says, Date lemekam, shtar zed, this document that I'm giving you, yehe lokum velios bakola kasu bo de divre shchimra kiksuvene chimstrun dami. So we'll say, a daitiki is a deathbed gift that is committed to writing. Even though technically speaking a shchiv meira, someone who's on his deathbed actually has the ability to convey ownership of property even without a formal document, but daitiki essentially says is da tehei lemekam velios. This document shall be a proof to you that which I'm giving to you should be yours. Shemes, and if I die, nechasav l'ploni, my property will go to so-and-so. That's a daitiki. So the Gemara says, matana, what's the shtar matana? Kol shekasav l'mayom l'achar misa, any document that says, from today and after I die. Gemara says, 1 second. Alma ik siva mayom l'achar misa hu dekani v'ilo lokani. That's the only case of a document of matana. Every single document of matana is a death gift, that if I die from today, right, if I die, then from today and on, it's yours. No, Amar Rabbi Hakam, that's what it means to say. Eizuhu matnas bari, shika matnas shchiv meira, delo kani el l'achar misa. So we'll say, here's what's interesting. Remember, whenever a shchiv meira conveys ownership of something, so that conveyance is only effective after the death of the individual, right? It's a death gift. It's a death gift. So the idea of it, so normally when we speak about a matnas shchimira, normally a shchimira is giving over something verbally. The daitiki is a document in which he gives over ownership of something, but only once he dies. This is yours if I die. The other thing says, by the way, what's an example of a gift document that is like the gift of a shchimira? The Gemara says, "The lokani alachar misa kol shekasav bo mehayom alachar misa." So we'll say you could also give a gift. In other words, we'll say a person can give a gift. Say, I just want to give a gift. I'm not a shchimira, but I just want to give a gift. But I only want the gift to go into effect after I die. Obviously, it's retroactively after I die. So I could say, I could write a gift document that says, "This should be yours mehayom alachar misa." You can give a gift like that. So I'm not shchimira, but I'm giving a gift that I only want triggered retroactively after I die. See if you're right. Right? Hinuli no se lecha matano zu. I'm giving you this gift mehayom from today ula achamisa. That is a gift document that works like the matana, the gift of a shchimira. Incredible. So time of the lo amar tenu. So the reason you don't return these documents back is because the person who wrote them didn't say give it back. Hamer tenu, but let's say about the shchimira, or the person who gave the matana would say, give it back. No sin, you would give it back. So aminu, matza daitakos apusikios umatanos. So we'll say, yet we learned in the Mishnah that if you find daitikios apusikios, Rashi says, that's apotiki. Apotiki abosai means, remember again, whenever you lend money to someone, or you borrow money from someone, or you have a debt. So apotiki means you designate a particular source of payment, apotehei koi. So umatanos, afapi shashnein modin lo yachzer lo laze ve lo laze. You don't, but abosai, the Mishnah said, that when you go ahead and you find lost You find the document, a daitiki, right? That's what we spoke about before. That's supposed to say that's the deathbed gift, right? The apotiki document, or the matana document. Even if both parties agree, we still don't return it to either party. Now, what are we concerned about? In this case, Rashi says over lo yachzer. Last Rashi in the daf, shemakas v'lazev v'lo masrlo v'lo zocha bekarka v'chazer v'kasav la'acher masav la'ashna. Now, what we're going to see over here is, even in these cases where both parties agree, we still don't return the documents. Why not? We're concerned that maybe the owner had in mind to give over this property, but chose not to do so in the end. So the Gemara says, Omar Rabbi Abba Bar Mama lo kasha. It's not a contradiction. I will say, Yutes on the base 19b, Habibari Habishchiv Mira. So I will say, this is actually very interesting. One is talking about the case of a healthy person, and one is talking about a shchimira. Rashi says over habibari shayestar matnas bari deloksiv be kidikatsiv rami ba'arise kidin shekosin b'shtari matana shchimira. So we'll say, if we're talking about the document of a bari, a healthy person, that's when if we find it, we do not return it. But by a shchimira, ultimately, again, we do return it. We do return it. So we'll say, let's analyze this a little bit. So masnisin diktani ha'amer trinosa mishchimira debar mehadir. And therefore, again, we'll say, in our Mishnah, when we inferred that if the principal said return it, that we do return it, that's talking about the document of a shchimira. Da'aminon, because we'll say, watch this. If it's a shchimira who lost it, we say as follows. So let's go through this, we'll say, right? So I'm walking in the street, I find a daitiki. Right, I found a deathbed gift committed to writing that Reuven, right? Reuven's on his deathbed and he's conveying ownership of property to Shimon. So now, assuming that Reuven is a shchimira, we can give, and again, Reuven admits that he wrote it, I can give it back. So Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Michael, remember, what are you concerned about? Dilma kasame kar lahai, because maybe we should be concerned about the following case. Reuven wrote a gift document to Shimon, the imlach falo yahav nehile, and then Reuven changed his mind. I don't want to give it to Shimon, but they're kasele in a shachrina. And Reuven said, you know what? I actually want to write this property over to Levi. So Reuven now writes another document, he gives it to Levi. V'yav and Ahile, and he gave now a second document to Levi. Okay. Hashtaka hadr be me'ahud de'yav and Ahile. Then what happens? Well, say Reuven, shtickle fickle, right? Right? And Reuven says, you know what? I don't want to give it to Levi. I changed my mind. Now, Reuven already gave it to Levi, right? But afterwards, he has giver's remorse. Giver's remorse is like, I shouldn't have given it to Levi. I really should have given it to Shimon. So we'll say, maybe that's our concern. And therefore, again, I'll say, what's happening over here? So let's play this out. So now, when I come along and I'm walking down the street and I find this document that writes that Reuven gave over property to Shimon. I will say, now did Reuven ever give property over to Shimon? He never ended up giving it. He wrote the document, but never giving it, right? He ended up giving over property to Levi. I go over to Reuven and say, Reuven, I found this document. Reuven says, oh, you know what? Yeah, give that back to Shimon. I will say, now what is Reuven trying to do? It's not Shimon's property. Reuven never actually executed that document. But Reuven figures, if I tell Silber to give it to Shimon, now Shimon's going to have it. Shimon's document is dated earlier than Levi's. And they say we'll be able to extract the property from Levi and give it to Shimon, who now changed my mind. I really want Shimon to have it. That's what we have to be concerned about. So Gemara says, okay, Ibn Matnas Bari, Yavile, Les Leib Seda. So I will say, if we're talking about the fact that Reuven is a healthy guy and not a Shchemira, so fine. I will remember again, in the gift of a healthy guy, the gift is only triggered by death. Right, that takes place retroactively. If that's the case, while Reuven's alive and kicking, he could choose to give it to whoever he wants. Like, it doesn't matter. In other words, he wrote a document to Levi and then changed his mind, doesn't want to give it to Levi, he wants to give it to Reuven. He has that right. So what's the big deal? So the Gemara says, Les Leib Seda, Dechinafka Tarti, Basraisa Zachi, Teha Hadr Bemi Kamaisa. When the second guy produces his document, Rabosai, see, interestingly enough, when the second guy, Levi, produces a document, even if we give it back to Shimon, if Levi comes and produces a document dated later, in this case, the later dated document is the one that wins, because that shows that Reuven, the gifter, right, the one giving the gift, changed his mind. Even matna shchimira, if we're talking about a matna shchimira, yahav nehele, I don't understand, what's the big deal? Return the document to Shimon. Les bapsida, debasraisa zachi, what the Gemara is saying is, I don't understand really, like, even if you return the document to Shimon, it's not really going to make much of a difference, because the way these things work is, these are gifts. whether it's a deathbed gift or whether it's a healthy person giving the gift, both of these gifts only come into fruition or only are activated when? Upon death. Which means that any time before death, the giver has the ability to go ahead and give and re-give. So whoever is going to produce the document dated last is the one who's going to really be the owner or the recipient of the gift. And halacha, to which the Gemara says, you're right. Ki katani braisa. When the Bryce has said before that even if both agree, right, both the principal, we'll call him, and the recipient, that we don't return it to either one, but bury. We're talking about, again, I will say, where the conveyor, in this case we'll call him Ruvain, is healthy. The lav bar mahadrahu. Because we'll say, ultimately, again, in that case, he's not really able to retract. Why? Damrinon dilma kasva lahay meikara. Because what are we concerned about? We're concerned that maybe Ruvain initially gave it to Shimon. Ve'imlach v'lo yavilei. And then he chose, so he wrote the document giving it to Shimon, but maybe he chose not to execute on that. V'hadar kasile in ishachrina. Then he decided to give it to Levi. V'yavilei, and he actually gave the document to Levi. Hashtaka hadar be me'ahu. V'yavilei. And now he has giver's remorse that he gave it to Levi. V'savar me'hadar lom, v'savar me'hadar. But now he can't get it back from Levi because he already gave it to Levi. So the Gemara says, "Be'emer lohu da'ana lahaya vasa." So he says, "Now he'll tell me I found the document." He'll write. Reuven will claim I really gave it to Shimon. And now what's going to happen? Shimon is going to produce a document that is dated earlier. And ultimately, again, he'll be able to usurp Levi's claim. But of course, again, this is inappropriate because Lamaisa, again, Levi is the true owner of the gift. So therefore, we don't return the document to either party. But what we do tell Reuven is as follows. So the Gemara says, we're not going to return this document to you. So we're not going to return this document for you because we're afraid that you're exploiting the situation. But here's what we will tell you. If indeed, right, Reuven, you meant to give it, you wrote this gift to Shimon, and you have not subsequently gifted that property to anyone else, I'll give you a very simple itzah. Just write him a new gift document. So we tell Reuven, listen, Reuven, we can't give you back this document, right? Because we're afraid that maybe you really gifted it to Shimon, to Levi, and now you have gifter's remorse and you want to really give it to Shimon, but this document was never executed. We're going to give it back to Shimon. Now Shimon's going to erroneously claim that he's the owner of the gift when really it's Levi. So we can't return the document. Here's what we can do. If you're telling the truth and you really never gifted this to anyone else, just write a new gift document to Shimon and Shalom Yisrael. No one else owns it either. D'i yavisli in a shachrina lespa psida de kadam zachi maskif l'rav zivid va'idi v'idi daitikos katani. I will say, but in both of these cases, we mentioned a daitigi, which I will say are deathbed gifts, right? We wanted to make a distinction that one case is talking about a gift given by a healthy person, one is given by a person on his deathbed, but both are mentioned as daitiki. You're right. Both cases are talking about a shchemira, v'lo kashya, ha bei v'ha bibari. So the Gemara says, one is talking about a case, Rashi says, bei, shadainu kayim v'as v'amar tenu lazeh, Habibari Shemes Michalyo Vizebno Omer Hechziru. Arba says, listen to this. The two cases are talking about two different scenarios. One is talking about, again, both are talking about a gift of a Shrimira. One is talking about, again, where the gift document was lost that says Reuven gave over to Shimon. And one case, number one, is where Reuven is still alive. Reuven, the Shrimira, is still alive. One is talking about where Reuven died, but ultimately, again, his son says, return the document to Shimon. So I'll say, now watch this. Actually, quite fascinating. See, if Reuven himself is alive, and Reuven says, return the document to Shimon, well, listen. If Reuven passed away and only his son is alive, then ultimately, again, in that case, we're not going to return the document. So I'll say, we'll stop over here for today. So I'm leaving you a little bit of a cliffhanger. So I'll say, so essentially, here's what we're just trying to reconcile. I'm walking in the shuk. I find a daitiki, which is a gift document, a deathbed gift document that says Reuven conveys property to Shimon to gift to be triggered upon the death of Reuven. So the problem is we have two different sources. One source says that if the Shechiv Meira admits, then ultimately we return it. One says we don't. We're trying to figure out how do we reconcile that contradiction. The answer the Gemara is going to give, which we'll explore more tomorrow, is one is talking about a case where the Shechiv Meira himself says return it. The other is talking about a case where the son, Shechiv Meira, died and his son says return it. The distinction between those cases and resolution of this case in Meiras Hashem tomorrow, Shkoyach.